always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine holiday Sunday afternoon by you guys. I am nursing my 4th of July hangover. I hope all of you guys are doing so safely as well. Today on the show, we're going to continue the debate Jonathan Kuminga or Rui Hachimura, and offer up the latest intel on that entire situation, as well as the Lakers' efforts to find a backup center. There was a fun rumor over the weekend that came from, I believe, Mark Stein and Jake Fisher over there at the Stein Line, about the Cavaliers apparently holding a roster spot for Bronny James. So we're going to discuss some of the ways that the Lakers might be able to take advantage of that situation. And then that's really it. As far as, you know, the two topics that I'm bringing to the table today, I wanted to open up as much room for you guys as I possibly could to answer as many of your guys' questions over the course of the show. I am recording this while the Lakers play the Heat in Summer League play. I am recording this as Brazil plays Norway in World Cup play. I'm recording this during the John Deere Classic for those of you dads like me who enjoy watching a little Sunday golf. So whatever it is that you guys want to talk about, hell, tonight we got, I think, another episode of Thrones coming our way. We have the Mexico and England game in a matter of hours. So whatever it is y'all want to talk about, hit me with your questions, hit me with your comments, your subjects, all of that good stuff, and I'll get to as many of those as I possibly can over the course of the show. As a reminder, as always, please hit that like button. Please hit that share button. Please subscribe to the channel and turn on notifications for it. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning, or now I'll probably drop this as soon as I'm done recording, please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but wherever you get them is perfectly fine with me. And we will go ahead and charge on into this Jonathan Kuminga, Rui Hachimura backup center situation that the Lakers find themselves immersed in right now. So the Lakers, right before the weekend, and I hope you guys checked out the episode that Pete and I recorded on Friday. Right before he and I recorded it, the Lakers traded DeAndre Ayton and a center group that at one point looked really promising, right? A Walker Kessler, DeAndre Ayton, and Mamu center group. That was a nice, deep center rotation that made a whole bunch of sense, checked a lot of boxes, all that good stuff. Now it's a little thin because you have Walker Kessler, who played 5 games last year. You had Mamu, who's not even technically a full-on center, and no traditional backup. There is no lob threat in that group either. Kessler is huge and has decent finishing skills, you know, in the pick and roll, but not really. Like, he's not going to jump over the top of the defense and finish a lob coming from Austin or coming from Luka. And, Mamu is a stretch 5 who is sized as more of a power forward. He definitely isn't going to finish over the top of the defense unless he's shooting over the top of the defense. But he is definitely not a lob threat. And the Lakers just don't really have a rim-running athlete at the center position right now. Now, over the weekend, we saw Andre Drummond sign with the New York Knicks to replace Mitchell Robinson as their backup center there. He was reportedly one of the guys who the Lakers were considering. And now the Lakers are, you know, just in terms of like the names that were linked to the Lakers initially, the Lakers list is now whittled down to Kevon Looney and Jonas Valanciunas. And that obviously is not a particularly inspiring list. There's a lot of overlap in terms of skill sets with Walker Kessler. And I would just kind of like to see the Lakers be a little bit more creative on that front. We'll see what turns out, what comes out of all of that. And then also in terms of the Lakers efforts in terms of filling out their roster, we are still waiting to see which direction they decide to go in between Jonathan Kuminga and Rui Hachimura. There has been very little noise on those two fronts. If you read Mark Stein's stuff, he seems, and he and Jake are apparently getting intel that it's going to be Kuminga if they do open up the money to be able to sign him. If you listen to Pete and Darius, they think it is going to be Rui Hachimura. Either way, to me, I'm perfectly fine with either of those choices. I think Kuminga has a much higher ceiling than Rui, but I think Kuminga also has a significantly lower floor than Rui does. So we'll kind of get to that debate here in a bit and continue it. I want to see how you guys feel about those two guys as a possibility. And possibilities. I love that we have a regular listener who has listened to the analogies over the course of the last few days. Give me some good old spaghetti. I'm with you, man. Like I think Rui is a nice kind of steady option, somebody that the Lakers know about. They have watched him grow. I like the idea of not losing Rui for nothing, one way or another. Another thing that I'm kind of interested in here is how the rest of the free agent market is going to play out around Jonathan Kuminga and around Rui Hachimura. And I find myself wondering if there's any way whatsoever the Lakers could maybe get both, or one of those guys as well as another wing option. You know, Matisse Thybulle comes to mind most frequently. But yeah, we'll see what comes of this, and I want to know how you guys feel about this as well. The one thing I'll say about Kuminga, and I've said it a few times over, is that I just talked about how the Lakers don't have enough athleticism at the center spot. They don't have enough athleticism, I think, in their front court. Period. And Kuminga is easily the best athlete currently available, and that is very appealing. For a team, with Luka Doncic on it, right? Like Luka loves to throw that lob to the baseline cutter who finishes over the top of the defense. He, obviously the example that comes to mind is Derrick Jones Jr. Who also, by the way, I believe is a free agent. So I find myself also wondering if like Derrick Jones Jr. is somebody that the Lakers are considering as well. Trey Mavs is asking about Zaire Williams. He is somebody who the Lakers considered going into free agency. I think he would be kind of a final signing as a, 13th man, basically at the end of their roster on a vet min. Another really good athlete though. Somebody who I would be interested in. I liked how young he is as well. This is going to be something that the Lakers have obviously emphasized to this point in the offseason is youth and athleticism youth for sure. And they are hoping that this group can develop together while this is all taking, over the years, while Luka is under contract, while Austin is under contract and Walker Kessler and the other guys that they added to this group. They have these longer term contracts and the Lakers are hoping that all of these, pieces of this new core that the Lakers have gets better, not just by way of, talent and youth and stuff like that, but also organic development. And we'll see to what extent they wind up you know, gambling correctly on that front. But right now, it just sounds like the Lakers are doing whatever they can. I think this Cavs situation with Bronny kind of plays into these efforts as well. So I'll talk about that here in a second. But the Lakers are, you know, they already traded DeAndre Ayton for some additional assets. They are canvassing the league to see if they have they can find some team that is willing to take Jared Vanderbilt and his contract for the price that the Lakers can pay. And we will see what comes of those efforts. But, you know, right now, they have, you know, made it very clear to Jonathan Kuminga's camp, and they have made it very clear to Rui Hachimura's camp that, you know, they have these other I's to dot and T's to cross before they can go into serious negotiations with those camps. And, you know, I think it would probably come down to which of those two players is willing to play for the least. I think that's probably how this is going to play out, but we'll see. Let's talk about the Bronny thing, because I do think those efforts are going to play a role in the Lakers' attempts to open up more flexibility, you know, to be able to spend on a power forward, a backup center, all of that good stuff. So Mark Stein reported over the weekend that the Cavs and the Warriors and the Timberwolves and the Sixers all consider themselves viable options. My buddy Jake Fisher also involved in the reporting here too. Shouts to Jake. Can't wait to probably bump into you a couple of times there in Vegas next weekend. But the word is that those four teams are all see themselves as viable options for LeBron James after he makes this free agent decision. And you can, you know, kind of debate, well, Cleveland probably checks the most emotional boxes. You could debate the basketball fit for LeBron in Minnesota or in Denver. The Philadelphia one doesn't really make a whole bunch of sense to me, but whatever. And then while all of that is going on, though, you have in Cleveland, the Cavs apparently doing whatever they can to welcome Bronny to Cleveland if LeBron does indeed sign there. And made me kind of wonder, well, can the Lakers take advantage of the situation without being too cynical, right? It's kind of gross to be like, we have your son. But like also, like, this is how sometimes business goes down. You know, you got to take advantage of the situations presented to you. LeBron departs by a free agency and you're like, well, shit. And then it's like, well, shit, you know, like as far as what the Lakers could possibly do here. And like the question that I think the Lakers are, you know, debating internally right now, based off of the conversations I've had, is do we want to focus on additional assets coming back in return for Bronny? Or do we want to focus on financial flexibility in return for Bronny? We already saw with DeAndre Ayton, they prioritized assets in return for Ayton. They got those couple of second round picks from Washington, which in some cases are oftentimes first, like very nearly first round picks. Those are legitimately valuable assets that the Lakers are presenting to teams in conversations about, you know, Jared Vanderbilt's contract and all of that stuff. But with Bronny, it's like, all right, well, if we don't take any players back and we just move that couple of million bucks, you know, can we get a second rounder back, or can we just get that financial flexibility? The other way that the Lakers can handle the situation is to see if they can get a player back to help fill out the rest of their roster, right? The Cavs have some interesting young players on their team. They have some interesting players at various prices across their team. Do the Lakers basically go to the Cavs and say, hey, what if it's Bronny and one, you know, Dalton for one of Cleveland's rotation guys as LeBron preps to sign over there and take a bunch of those wing minutes. Looking at you, Max Strus. Do the Lakers, basically send Bronny over there and say, Jalen Wells, what are you doing? But regardless, whether it's to Cleveland, whether it's to Golden State, whether it's to Minnesota or to Denver, the Lakers guaranteed Bronny's contract with a full understanding that LeBron was probably going to peace out. And the Lakers, I think they also value Bronny as a player. He has legitimately developed in his couple of years there with the Lakers. But also, they're very clear-eyed over the situation that LeBron is signing in. And LeBron's preference to continue to play with Bronny on whatever team that he goes to next. And they are, the Lakers are going to, whenever LeBron makes his decision, which hopefully happens relatively soon. Now, I guess it should also be said, LeBron told everybody when he was looking to make this decision. So it might not happen till later in the summer. But whenever that decision happens, the Lakers are looking to, send Bronny to whatever team that LeBron goes to. Maybe get a second rounder back for him. Maybe get a younger player that at a position of need that they are interested in. And I think this is a situation that feels like right on that border of icky and practical. But the Lakers are looking to take advantage of the all of this and LeBron leaving and the teams that really, really, really want LeBron at the price that LeBron is going to have to play at next year. And the Lakers are basically going to say, you want LeBron? We have a LeBron right over here too. And we'll see to what extent they're able to take advantage of all of the stuff that is involved with LeBron's decision on where he's going to play next year. All right, let's go ahead and answer some of your guys' questions and comments and all of that good stuff. We have the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! Also, this one, I'm going to play this one because this is how I felt all of yesterday. All right. Let's see. The first super comment that we have from here is from Intel is wild. Fuck Boston. Always. That is just my standard operating protocol. That is my modus operandi. That is just I wake up every morning. And before I say good morning to Jen, before I say good morning to Avery, before I say good morning to Miles, the first thought that runs through this here brain is this. Fuck Washington! All right. So the first super comment that we have, actual question that we have here from via super comments is from Juice2K25, who writes, I can't for the life of me understand why people can't see that this LeBron thing isn't about basketball. It's funny that he's willing to take less. Yeah. So I saw Kevin O'Connor tweeted out about the basketball fit with the Cavs and how it doesn't make a whole bunch of sense to him outside of LeBron's return home and all of that stuff. And I was like, I tweeted this out too. But if this did come down to the best basketball decision that LeBron could make, or the best decision that checks the most boxes for LeBron, the Lakers still make the most sense to me. It's just very clear to me that LeBron and the Lakers were ready to move on from each other. But in hilariously Lakers fashion, they still have an open power forward spot on their roster.